It's good to be here this morning and an honor to have this opportunity. Always amazes me how many churches will allow people to get up and speak. I'd like to tell you beforehand, I received a phone call last night from our sister Ann Lilliston, an unexpected call, and she was informing me that she would not be able to make it today to hear me speak, and that she didn't want me to think badly of her. But she also, I love Ann, she informed me that her daughter may have COVID, and she was in contact with her, so she's getting tested. So she asked for prayers for that. And while I'm up here, let's all pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you because you are in control and you are all-powerful. Father, you are the healer. And we come to you because you are our Father and you love us. And we come and we pray for our dear sister Ann, Father, in thanksgiving for her being a part of this family and loving us the way she does. We pray for her and her family, her daughter, Father, protection from this disease, that her test will come back negative. And Father, we pray this in the most powerful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. What I'd like to do, what I'd like to speak about today, what I'd like to get across to you, kind of builds on what my brother Wesley was teaching about being distracted. And look at this world today and the society we're living in, and there's always been distractions, but I think we're being distracted. And I'd like this time to examine ourselves to see how distracted we really are. Also, you know, what is our mission? This mission that we've been given by God to go out and save souls, to tell people about Jesus, and that we are not capable of doing so on our own. That we need to rely on His power to do so for the words that we speak, for the actions that we do. We're totally not capable of that without His power. And then about the unity in this army. We are soldiers for Christ. And the unity that we need to have, that's not only essential to get the job done, but it's commanded by Jesus that we are unified. Nothing gets in between this fellowship that we have together and this mission that we're on. The most important thing is to save souls. And that is our mission. We've been saved. Our soul is secure. We've been promised. And now our mission is to save others and bring them to Christ. We are the hope. We provide the hope of Jesus. The words that He's given to us, the love that He's put into our hearts. We are the refuge for this broken world, these hurting people. Our new brother Mark, who just was baptized, found that hope and found that love. He happened to find it here. And our brother Russ studied with him, but if you can remember when he came in, broken. And then he met Jesus. That is what the mission is. So I'd like to examine ourselves. I speak to you, but the blessing is preparing a lesson and examining myself. And that's what I can speak of, is what I go through and what I've been through. And seeing how I can get distracted and how I've been distracted. And we're talking about COVID, talking about this virus, and how distracting it is, how it affects so much of our lives, how it affects the church. It is Thanksgiving. I don't think I've ever missed a Thanksgiving with my family. But my mother is scared. We didn't go to the beach this year. First year in 39 years, we did not go. How that's affected our relationships. how it's affected our fellowship here in the church. It's not only that, but then you have the people that don't want to wear masks. You have the people that want to wear masks. You have the people that want to hug. You have the people that don't want to hug. You've got the people that really are scared, and you've got the people that, when it's my time to go, it's my time to go. And that's a conflict there. That can cause conflict. The way our life is being controlled by leaders, maybe you agree with it, maybe you don't. I don't know if you know this, but it does have an impact on the church. It has caused division in the church. This disease has. It should not be. Well, I mean, how about the election? I'm not going there. Did anybody, you know, are you getting uneasy just me saying that? You had a vote. We voted. The vote is casted. If you voted, it's cast. There's nothing you can do about it. It is what it is. One of them will be president. I don't know who that's going to be, but that's in God's hands. How does that affect you? How much of an effect has this election taken on you? In anger, in fear, in frustration, in uncertainty? I mean, it's a tough time right now. It's a tough time. The news media, all media, how is it affecting you? How is it distracting you from the mission that we have? Serious issues, serious consequences, but the mission goes on. The mission started the day of Pentecost, when the church began. That's one form of distractions that we don't have, you know, we can't control the outcomes of all of these. Maybe there'll be a vaccine. Wouldn't that be great? God, please give us a vaccine so we can have, you know, get back to fellowship time and get back to our family. And that would be nice, but that's uncertain. We don't know where that's going to go. Satan never stops at trying to distract us. That's what his whole mission is, to get us off track, to forget about what the mission is. And there's other things that we have no control over. Our chronic pain. People here that are suffering from chronic pain and illnesses. The problems we have in our relationships when the people we love just aren't acting right. Or the finances. That's one of the things COVID has done. There's a lot of people struggling financially. And suicide and you name it, a lot of things are happening in this time. So it's really tough. But how about sin? That's a struggle for all of us. And again, we're just examining. I just want you to be thinking about where you're at and how focused you are on the mission, how focused I am on the mission. What about sin? There's so many things that we can't change. Sin is one that we have control over. If we're tempted, it's our choice to sin. We don't have to sin. It's our responsibility, personally, our responsibility. And our shepherd, my shepherd, Wesley, we love you, and you've always been a big brother to me. We love your heart. You pray, sometimes you'll pray for forgiveness of sins, ones we commit knowingly, ones we commit unknowingly. And I want to ask you this, because this happened to me, and it does happen. You find out that you've been sinning. Now, you would think if you sin, you know, but you could be sinning and not know it, and it comes to you, and I was wrong. And you need to repent of it. It pricks your heart because you've been sinning all this time, and it just, you just realize it. Well, that's why I'm coming to this distraction part. All of these things have affected me in a way that they shouldn't have. I've gotten angry. I've gotten scared. I've gotten frustrated. So I know it's affecting a lot of people. I think it affects us all. Satan is trying to creep it into our lives. This is something we have to keep pushing Satan back. He tries to get in this way. When we acknowledge it and when we find out, we have to get rid of it. Because what does that have to do with the mission? And that's what I want to bring out. What does that have to do with saving souls? And staying focused? And how distracted are we? And how much more effective could we be if we didn't get entangled in that? Holloway, appreciate you reading the scripture this morning, brother. Appreciate you. I'd like to read that again, go over this. But to keep it in context, Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, and he's in jail. He's writing a letter from jail to instruct Timothy, but to encourage Timothy. But he's doing it from jail. Doing it from hardship. He's thinking of the mission. He's not being distracted. When you can't go this way, you go this way. What can you do? Don't get entangled. Look for the opening that you can be effective in this mission and you go for it. So Paul's writing this letter from jail. He's writing to Timothy, this young man that he's previously told him, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. I can't help but to think that Timothy was in quite a position to be that young and to have such responsibilities given to him. Then when Paul writes, he says, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Stand strong in the grace. The only way that he could do this, totally incapable, young man, incapable of doing this job, other than standing in God's grace, which gives him the power to do that. And that's where we are. Paul wrote from jail to Timothy. He wrote to us as well. We're all Timothys. We all have an awesome responsibility that's way over our heads. But by God's grace, we will be able to do it if we have the faith. And we stay focused and we don't get caught up. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. We've been taught, we pass it on. We share what we have learned. And the cycle continues. Share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. We all do suffer. All soldiers suffer. It's not a cakewalk. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. We do it for the love of Christ. We don't get entangled in these things. Again, just want to look at what we're going through and just we come together to remind ourselves. We come together to this place each week. It's kind of a way of being held accountable. We go out there into the world during the week. We come together as soldiers in this refuge, which is such a blessing to have this refuge and to have this church family where we can encourage one another. And we need it so desperately. I'd like to read to you Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 41. I should apologize, but I'm not. This is God's word. Every single one is precious. And I just want to look at the apostles in Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 41, to look at it and to see how they walked, to see what amazing things they did and what they faced, and maybe compare them to what we're facing today. But the high priest rose up and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles, put them in public prison. But during the night, the angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. So they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and guards standing at the door. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what would come of this. And someone came to them and told them, "Look, the men who you put in the prison are standing in the temple court and teaching the people." Then the captain of the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charge you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him in his right hand as leader and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are witness to these things. So is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But the Pharisees in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Thaddeus rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone, for if the plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy of the suffering, worthy to suffer the dishonor for this name. It's amazing that how they didn't stop. What has changed since then, and from then to now? The need for the word of God to be spread. That they were locked up, they got out, they started praying. They can't stop him. Nothing should stop us. Especially not the distractions of this life. You know, they had a corrupt government. There was total injustice. That's why Jesus died. He was pure. And they killed him. Total injustice. They were put in jail. Didn't have freedom of speech. Didn't have the First Amendment. They got put in jail. They got beat. They got killed. They ultimately died. So, I mean, think about what we're scared of. Think about what we're angry about. And then think about them. We got pretty good. We're nowhere near that degree. But society is changing. So we need to look to them as examples. And they were men. The apostles were men. They were flesh and blood, just like you and I. We know of Peter's struggles. We know of Paul's struggles he wrote about. They struggle with sin. But they kept the mission. And I know that I've been distracted, and that's when Russ came to me and he asked me 2 weeks ago, and I, what am I going to talk about? And I just look at all the division that's going on because of the situations in this society. I said, I'm going to talk about that. And there's one other thing I want to talk about, and that's our unity. Read next, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to breaking of the bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all believed, were together, and had all things in common. As they were selling their possessions and belongings, and distributing and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. We've got all those issues, and what we need to make sure is those issues don't come into this church, into God's church, because we are the refuge. We're the refuge for the hurting, for the weak, for the lonely, for the tired, and for the lost. We're the refuge. Politics is in sports. Politics is in late night comedy. You can't get away from it. Shouldn't be in this church. When we lose focus and get entangled in civilian affairs, we become ineffective in the fight to win the souls. The main job to bring others to Christ and to love. What about our fellowship here? Look, I hope that they come up with a vaccine, and I miss you. I miss my mama. I miss you. I'm a hugger. The awkwardness. I miss it. I tell you, when I pray that we get through it, and when we do, just like when we came back to worship for the first time, let us not take for granted a fellowship meal or when it comes to, or a hug. How about looking in somebody's face and seeing the smile? You know, there's a lot of communication behind that mask that we don't see. The love that we can show. So just let's examine ourselves and just make sure that the issues of this world we don't get entangled in, and we stay focused on the mission. We stay unified in love in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what I wanted to tell you. So let's pray about that. God, our Father, we come to you. Father, you know our hearts. Father, you know our struggles. Father, please forgive us when we sin. Father, please expose our sins and give us the strength to repent and turn from them, Father. Purify us so that we can serve you in the way that you want us to serve you, Father. Help us to not get entangled in these traps that the devil sets for us, Father, but to focus on you and not on this broken world. Father, we can do nothing to fix it, but do your will. That is the answer, Father, to everything. Help us to be better soldiers. Help us to have courage. Father, fan the flames in our soul. Give us strength. Father, continue to bless this church at Edge Hill. Father, we pray for unity. We pray for our family to come back, the ones that can't be here right now. Father, we pray for the ones that have strayed. We want fellowship, Father. Fellowship in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray this in His name. Amen. So we have an invitation song, and anybody that needs prayers, when this church prays, it's effective. It's powerful. And so this invitation is open for you to have this whole church family pray for you and whatever struggles that you're having right now. So Chuck will lead us in song.